We are here on January the 22nd. This is the year of our Lord, 2006. This morning, our scriptural text will be from the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And I'd encourage you to open to that passage. And the title of our message is Man's Sin. The cat, what I hope to cause you, the audience, to do, is to see and understand that God has a will for my life. And to rebel against that is sin. Now, to introduce the message, let me ask you a series of questions. First of all, why do I see so many problems in life? Do you see problems? One of the things that's bothered me this week is, why do I see so many wars? Why are there wars? Why do I see so many people argue? Why do sometimes my wife and I, even after being married 35 years, we still argue with each other? Why do I see so many divorces? Why are there so many people, even in the Christian community, who are getting divorced? Why do I see so much abuse in our society, in our world? Why is there abuse? Why do I see so many people willing to become suicide bombers? Why does that take place? Why are there so many family problems? Why is it that we have problems within our family? Those are all serious questions, aren't they? Do they bother you? Do you wonder why we have those, where they came from? Is there a starting point? Is there a cause? Have you ever wondered that? What if I could show you where, when, why, and how that all started? Would you be interested? Would you be interested knowing where it all took place, where it started? Good. This lesson pinpoints the beginning of man's original rebellion against God and the results thereof. Ever since Adam and Eve were in the garden and Eve had a conversation with Satan, man sought to be like God. Sin is the basic problem of mankind. So, where did this all start? It started in the Garden of Eden. When? It started when mankind began to converse with God's enemy, one of the fallen angels named Satan. That's when it all started. And why did all of these problems start? Why did this basic problem of sin come into mankind? Because man wanted to be like God. That's why. Now then, what I'm going to do is define for you the term that we'll use, sin. How do I identify sin? And I have 4 points on your outline to define that. First of all, sin is the term used to identify, number one, the individual functioning is your blank, as his or her own God. When an individual functions as his or her own God, that is sin. Number two, sin is a term used to identify the self-life, or when we walk after the flesh. So self-life is your blank. When you're living a life, a self-centered life, the me-centered life, the I-will-centered life, that's sin. Number three, we could identify sin as an individual living without considering what God has to say. Now, I don't know how many of you, on a daily basis or a regular basis, when you're looking at serious questions in your life, take the time to study and consider what God has to say about that. Most people don't, even in the church. Most people don't research the resource of God's rich word to understand how they should function. They don't even consider what God has to say about having a marriage, finding a mate, spending their money, rearing their children, taking care of the possessions God graciously gives them. Most of the major things in life, they don't consider what God has to say. Do you? And lastly, number four, the term we call sin could be allowing, is your blank, allowing circumstances or feelings to rule your life instead of God. There are times during the week when you will hear somebody say something like, oh, he makes me so mad, or she makes me so upset. See, the reality is nobody can make you mad. Nobody can make you upset. You allow circumstances or your feelings to rule your life instead of allowing the Holy Spirit of God to rule it. So, I ask you, will you open your heart to the Lord's truth? As we turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, here's how it begins. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden." So point number one on your outline under the Bible study here. Point number one, rebellion starts by questioning of the authority. Authority is in your blank. Any time that you're questioning the authorities over you, you are in the process of being led down the path of temptation into sin. Now, how many of you have authorities over you? Does anybody have authorities over them? Oh, yeah, you do, don't you? Look at it this way. Is there anybody here who does not, in some area of their life, have an authority over them? See, we all are subject to authority. And have you ever noticed that people question those who are in authority over them? Have you noticed that? They do, don't they? They question the people that are in authority over them. Where did that come from? It came from this evil creature, Satan. Now look with me at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. This is what God really said. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden you shall not eat. For the day you eat of it, you will surely die." God is for our freedom. God's for freedom in your life. He's the one who created freedom. He's the one who created free will. He's the one who created choice. He is for freedom. See, God's saying you can eat from any tree of the garden you want, freely. Freely you can eat from any one. But don't eat this one or it'll kill you. You'll die if you eat that one, but you can eat it if you want to die. Rebellion causes a loss of freedom and death. Get that? Rebellion causes a loss of freedom and death. Now see, when I was a teenager, I used to think that rebellion was the way to freedom. I was deceived. It's not true. I used to think that if I could just be free to do whatever I want, then I'd truly be free. But that always leads to death. It always leads to death. Rebellion causes a loss of freedom and death. True freedom is in submission to God. Now look with me at Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 or 3. The woman said to the serpent, "From the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it." Now I underlined "or touch it." Why did I underline that? Because God didn't say that, did he? Here's the woman who's exaggerating, stretching the truth. She's adding or embellishing her little bit to it. God never said you couldn't touch it. He just said, don't eat it. Here's the second point on your outline. The second step in rebellion is a lie. Lie is your blank. See, when we question authority, then the next thing we do is begin to embellish, change, color, enhance. But we begin to lie, and that's the second step. Now look with me at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The Lord said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." God made man in his image according to his likeness. Now in Genesis 3, verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." See, they already were like God. They already knew good. The thing that they did not know was evil. That's what they didn't know. And evil leads to death. So, step number three in this progression on your Bible study is, the third step in rebellion is a deception. Deception is your blank. So it starts out questioning authority. Next it exaggerates, makes a lie, and then it leads to a deception. Satan still tries to deceive you and I today into thinking, if we do this, if we do that, we will be more like God. When in reality, we have all of God if we've been born again. So, deception is your point three. Now, as you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eye, the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took its fruit, she ate, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate. Step number four, the next step is wanting, is your blank. The next step, step four, is wanting something you do not presently have. Now, how many of you have noticed that in our society there is a great drive to cause situations and circumstances, we call marketing strategies, to make you want something you don't presently have? See, that's not of God. God wants you to be content, to be thankful for who you are and what you have. Not wanting something you don't have, but being thankful for what you presently have. One of the last commandments, I think it's the last one, it says you won't covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's manservant, your neighbor's car, your neighbor's Harley-Davidson, your neighbor's boat, your neighbor's house. You won't covet, but you'll be thankful for what you have. This wanting is all a part of this progression of man's sin and temptation. And then the last step, step number five, is an action. Action is your blank. They actually took from the fruit and ate it. If you think about wanting something long enough, if you're on the track of saying, I want to have an affair with this woman, eventually you will get to the point where you try to make that into an action. And that's the actual point of sin. Now then, in Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, I want you to look at something. These are the family records of the descendants of Abraham. On the day God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Do you see that? When God made him here in verse 1, he made him in the likeness of God. Now look at verse 2. He created them male and female, and he blessed them, and he called them man, what we presently call mankind. But they were originally made in the image of God. Now then, look at verse 3. Adam was 130 years old when he fathered a child in his likeness according to his image and named him Seth. Do you see the difference? In verse 1, he was made in the likeness of God. In verse 3, he was made in the likeness in the image of Adam. No longer in the image of God. But because of Adam's relationship with Satan and Adam's identification with Satan, as we'll look next week, how sin affects our life and we become like the evil one, now mankind is born into sin, born into a relationship with Satan, the rebel prince, being our spiritual father. And we will stay in that condition up until the point in time when we find a redemptive redeemer, a savior to save us from that and reestablish us into the perfect love relationship with God that Adam and Eve had before the fall. So, here's a deep question. Were you born before or after Seth? Were you born before Seth was born or after? You were born after. You're right. All of us are born in the likeness of Adam, related to Satan. Now, here, as you look at your diagram illustration on the bottom of your outline, exercising rebellion is sin. And you will find that these are the things that we do when we're exercising rebellion. Look at the first one, determining standards of conduct for myself, others, and God. Do you do that? Do you set up standards for how you should do things, how well you should do things, or how poorly you're doing things? Do you ever look at other people's lives and say, well, they're not doing very well, or I'm doing better than they are? Do you ever set up standards of conduct for God? See, that is sin. That's sin. Determining demanding absolute obedience to those standards. Do you expect yourself and others and God to meet up, to agree with the standards you made? Well, of course we do. When we set standards, we expect people to agree with them, to abide by them. Look at the third one. Judging God, others, and my life, attitudes, and actions by those standards. Do we ever judge how well we're doing? Well, of course we do. We were born in relationship with Satan, and we do that all the time, and we don't realize that that is rebellion. We're not supposed to judge. Jesus, when he was in an earth suit, when he was a human man, all human, all God, he did not judge. Now, someday, he is going to come back and judge. In the near future, he's going to come out of the east at sunset, and he is going to come with such a wonderful entrance, and he is going to judge the living, the dead. Everybody is going to stand before him in judgment when he comes a second time. But when he came the first time, he didn't. And you know what? Some of us who are born again will rule with him, will judge with him for 1,000 years. But in this life, we are not supposed to. How about your next one there? Do you ever seek revenge? Well, yeah, of course we do, don't we? People do something wrong and we figure we'll get them. How does the old saying go? I don't get mad, I get right even. Yeah, this is today, but don't worry, payback's right coming, isn't it? Payback's coming. We get revenge, even in our marriages. Oh, you want to be that way now? Okay, you just wait. I got time. I'm going to be here. Well, right? Isn't that the way the attitude goes? That's a sinful attitude. How about selfishly endeavoring to control circumstances or people? Do you ever try to control? Are you more comfortable when you're in control? See, there are many of us who think that when we're in control, everything's all right. But in reality, that's sin. I actually know people that if they're not in control of the car, they get sick. If they're not behind the driver's seat, they get car sick. They need to be in control. They need to be at the wheel. See, that's sin. How about exercising sovereign independence, doing whatever you please? See, sovereign independence, doing whatever you please, that's sin. But our society will teach us that having sovereign independence, being able to do whatever you please, that's good. But in reality, it's sin. You are supposed to be dependent on God, not independent of him. How about this next one? Seeking praise, approval, and acceptance of others and not from God. Do we do that? Of course people do. But did you realize that trying to get approval of people, trying to get acceptance from people rather than from God, doing what pleases man rather than what pleases God, is sin? We are supposed to please God, not man. And lastly, asking help and guidance from anyone. Asking no help or guidance from anyone, not even God. See, we want to be able to do it on ourselves. Our own strength, our own courage, our own initiative, our own willpower, don't we? That's sin. We are supposed to ask the Holy Spirit of God. Remember Jesus said, I will send you a right helper. We're supposed to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us, to lead us to do that. How many of you ever seen somebody trying to put something together and as a last resort, they read the instructions, right? See, I can admit that I've done that before. I don't want to have to ask for help. I want to be able to do it on my own. But living a life like that, not asking God's help or not asking other people's help, not allowing them to be involved in our lives, is sin. So as we each individually look over this illustration here, setting standards, demanding obedience, judging lives, revenge, and so on and so on and so on, which one of these is an area of life and our own personal life that as we go to a silent prayer, as Marty and the folks come forward to lead us in a closing song, which one of these could we confess to God as sin and ask his forgiveness and seek his redemption as we repent of those sins? Let's do that in Jesus' name.